I am, yeah. Do you just want me to continue?
Yeah, please. I just asked you, you know, how are you getting to sleep at night and getting yourself back up in the morning?
Well, basically, as I was saying, sleep is a luxury out here. Our base of operations is on the Port-au-Prince airport, with planes coming in day and night. By the time we finish our search and rescue operations and brief personnel, it's like you're trying to snatch a few hours sleep here and there, but it is very difficult with the noise that's going on around. But, you know, people are coping with that at the moment. They're still running on adrenaline in the hope that, you know, we can carry out further rescues. And whilst there is hope still there, we will continue. But as I said, you know, that element is being phased out at the moment.
You said that the search and rescue is come to a halt at the moment. So when's that likely to resume?
Well, it should resume within the next hour or two. As I said, the UN security staff are out in the city of Port-au-Prince at the moment, assessing the situation. Some sectors of the city are completely free of any hostilities, but there are certain sectors where hostilities and tensions are running quite high. So there are areas we still can get out to today. We will get out and carry out some search and rescue.
Now, we've heard that because of the structure of the buildings, because they're not big, heavyweight buildings, they're a bit lighter, that some people may be in coves of these buildings, so that there might be, you know, still quite a few people alive. Is that right, or is that just wishful thinking?
Well, basically, we've got two types of building here in the city of Port-au-Prince. One is a shanty-type construction with the corrugated tin sheet and timber, and the other one is where they're made up of reinforced concrete. So, you know, it's quite substantial construction. And those are the types of premises with the reinforced concrete where we've been able to carry out all our rescues. And you know, people have been sort of embedded and entombed in areas within the structure.
You mentioned about the pregnant lady and the other lady with burns. Have there been any more rescues for your team?
No, the medical evacuation yesterday was the last that we completed. But, I mean, it's only 10 o'clock in the morning here. So, you know, we've still got a full day ahead of us yet. You know, as long as we've got the light and the showers, you know, there's hope. Once, you know, it becomes evening and it gets dark, then we start looking to return to the base of operations anyway. Because it's very difficult. The whole city is in complete darkness, to be honest. You can lose somebody standing next to you. It's so dark because they haven't restored any power supplies yet.
Okay, now how long have your team got left out there? How long will it be before you come home?
Well, we are working on an exit strategy at the moment. Other international search and rescue teams have already returned home. So, you know, the search and rescue teams are being phased out. The Manchester team and the Lancashire teams, you know, along with the rest of UK, ISAR, were one of the first teams anyway, and we're still here, and we're still willing, but realistically, I don't think we're going to get home before Wednesday, or maybe even later towards weekend.
We're getting reports, you know, obviously we're seeing all these horrible pictures on the TV news channels. We're getting reports from your family, how proud they all are of you. How much contact do you have with home?
Very little because of the communication problems we're having. However, I am keeping in touch with the fire and rescue service, and they're all being informed by them, you know, via updates, really. And on occasions, the odd text can get through. So hopefully all the family are okay and they're not worrying too much about us, because there's no need. They're all professional people out here and they wouldn't put themselves at risk.
I bet you never... Well, I know you train for this, but do you expect to be doing a job like this?
Well, yeah, this is what we're used to, you know. We've attended many earthquakes in the past, and as you said, that's what we've trained for. You know, we might get home on Thursday night and there may be another one Saturday, and we'll be straight out again to do that, you know, because that's why we're here. That's the job we do, and, you know, when we get the chance, we do that very well.
How do you leave something like that behind if you can? Or I don't know how, you know, what do you come back and have counselling, or how do you condition yourself?
It's very difficult. I mean, there is counselling available for, you know, people that do require it, but it's all part of our training anyway. And, you know, in the past, we haven't required that. We're quite resilient people. So, yeah, we just managed to cope with it, really. I mean, it's a horrible situation. You do reflect on it when you get back. You're quite saddened by it all. But the good part about all this is the search and rescue phase. It attracts all the media attention. And what that does, that media attention is all over the world, and it actually makes people donate to the relief charities, because there's so much required here, you know, once we finish our search and rescue. It's going to take years, you know, to get the country back to how it was. And you have to remember, before the earthquake, there's something like 9,000 UN peacekeepers in place anyway. So it wasn't the most sort of stable country before the earthquake. They've just got a massive, massive task to get back to anywhere near normality, and they need all the help they can get.
That's brilliant. I'll stop you there, but thank you.